Welcome to Solder Smoke, where we talk about all things electronic and geeky. We meet on Echolink and swap ideas related to workbench radio projects. If you have any questions about this podcast or suggestions for future casts, send a note to soldersmoke@yahoo.com. Our webpage is www.geocities.com/soldersmoke. As always, have fun, melt solder, and pass along your ideas. So M0HBR, KL7R, so tell me about your ceramic resonator before you go to work.
Okay, real good, KL7R, Juno, this is M0HBR in London. Yeah, like I said, you and I were discussing oscillators and ceramic resonators. And I told you that I'm following up on an article in Sprat in the British QRP Club magazine. I built a little oscillator using a ceramic resonator. I'd never played with these things before. All my other oscillators were using crystals, but this one had a ceramic resonator that resonates at 14.3 megahertz. And I put it in there, and I noticed right away that I could move the frequency using a variable capacitor a lot further than I could with a crystal. In fact, I was getting about 31 kilohertz of variation, which is pretty good because, you know, normally with a crystal, the most you could hope for would be about 14, about one part per million. Anyway, so you had suggested that I go ahead and try to put two of them in the circuit in parallel. It's a trick that's often used with crystals. And so I was in an experimental mood, and I decided to give it a go, as the Brits would say. And really surprising results. Listen to this. With one crystal in there, it goes, the oscillator circuit can tune from 14273 to 14301. Not bad. But when I switch in the second resonator, it goes an additional 31 kcs. With the second one switched in, it goes 14301 to 14332. So in essence, you have an oscillator with a tuning control for the variable cap and a little switch. When the switch is in the down position, you go from 14273 up to 14301. You throw the switch and the thing tunes from 14301 to 14332. A total variation of 59 kilohertz. Very stable and very, very clean output. I've kind of been searching the web and the literature, and I haven't seen this finding anywhere else, so this may be a new one for ham radio, Mike, KL7R, M0HBR.
All right, Bill. Well, that's great. That's really useful, too. It goes basically the whole top end of the 20-meter band. I wonder if you've tried... adding an inductance to try to pull it down in frequency. Seems like putting them in parallel added capacitance, which raised it up. And so I wondered if you tried either parallel or series inductance.
No, you know, I haven't, and I guess I should. But it's interesting if you do a web search for ceramic resonators, you find that most of the people experimenting with them are only using the capacitor in series. And I'm not really sure why. I really have to start looking at the physics of the ceramic resonator a little bit more. But none of them seem to be using the inductor in series. Now I am pulling it down quite a bit. It's all going down. I mean it's going down and up. It essentially with one resonator in the circuit, it's pulling it down about 25 or 30 kcs because the resonator is at 14.3, and when I put the other one in the circuit, it's pulling it up by about 30 kcs. So we're going down and up. And I don't know. I think, you know, I played around with it. I tried to put a little bit more capacitance in there, and adding a lot more capacitance, I was getting a very, very little, very minimal increase in the maximum shift. So I think I might have it, you know, as good as it's going to get. Although I should play with it a little bit more. The other thing I have to check is to make sure that, that this occurs with other resonators of the same batch. It may be that there's some particular variation, that these things aren't produced to great precision, and it may be that it's just the two that I have give this very kind of fortunate frequency spread. I suspect that it'd work with any of them. The resonators are really cheap. I mean, I bought them from the GQRP Club for the equivalent of about $1 each. And they come in little paper strips that look like little little capacitors. And that's pretty cool. But it's it was surprising results. I think I'll write it up for Sprat Magazine. I've been wanting to send them something, and this is something that they would like. You're right, it's perfect. I mean, it's the top end of the 20 meter phone band, and it'd be excellent for simple double sideband or single sideband transmitters. I'm thinking about taking the circuit and using it to replace the oscillator in my 20 meter double sideband phone rig, just because I get so much more variation. In the rig right now, I have two crystals switchable, and it gives me a total of about, I think, about 20 kcs, 20 or 30 kcs. So this is this has given me significantly more, and that frequency restriction was a real pain in the neck, especially on a crowded 20 meter band. So I think I'm going to put in a new oscillator in there, and then after that I'll work on a better final amplifier for it. KL7R and Juno M0HBR, London.
Great, Bill. Well, that sounds like a great find. Well, you know, I think from what I read, I might be wrong. I might have got it wrong, but the reason that the parallel capacitance, parallel crystals work, is because they're little tiny bits of capacitance. So it might be fun just to put a real small capacitance in parallel with the ceramic resonator, and maybe try a real small, you know, real small values of capacitance in parallel and series, and same with inductance in parallel and series. Oh, cool on that. You know, since we last talked, I got the grid meter working, and I actually got a dip, so I was real happy about that. I made a 2-FET grid meter, and the schematic I got off of AMQRP didn't work at all, so I modified it to put a couple of germanium diodes, DC, you know, RF to envelope to DC, and then put a real sensitive meter on there, and got a nice little dip with a coil and capacitor. I was real happy about that. I never got around to wiring up the varactor diodes, and to try it with the sweep generator on my scope. I was happy to get that working. And anyways, after doing that and talking to you, I dug out the binaural receiver here, the DC to daylight binaural, and I put a second SBL1, and I've got the mount for the second LM386, so I'm beginning to build the second audio train for the right ear in the binaural receiver. So I got off the couch on that one. So we'll see how that goes in the next few days. Bill, I can't stay too long this time, and I imagine you've got to go to work this morning. Maybe we get together on a weekend or something. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R and 0HBR. Yeah, I got to get going here too, Mike. Coming up on 7 o'clock in the morning here in London. You can probably hear planes going into Heathrow in the background. There you go. I'm about 20-25 miles from Heathrow Airport. but the planes come over London on the way into the airport, so we get one about every 45 seconds here during the day. Hey, you sound like you've really been melting some solder. That's fantastic. It's great. Well, grid dip meter, congratulations. I've always wanted to build one. Never have. It always looks like the metal work and the cabinet work is the real tough part with that kind of project. But yeah, it's a really useful piece of gear. I've had several of them in the shack, but unfortunately all of them that I've bought have been old and junky. And these things don't age well, especially with the connectors for the plug-in coils. And they get really, really, really bad. So I actually had one called a Little Dipper, and it never worked right. And I opened it up, and I found some really hideous, poorly done mods in there. Somebody had decided to make it work better, and of course it had the opposite effect. And I gave up trying to fix it. It was just too much. It was one of these things that was falling apart as I worked on it. And fine on the binaural receiver, well, yeah, get the other, go from monaural to binaural, and you'll have that stereo effect that we all read about. I've never played with one. One guy had one at a ham fest one time, but it wasn't really working too well inside the building. But that sounds like a really interesting project. I remember those articles. Just before you go, I downloaded, I think, iPodder, so I can, just to get a better understanding of how the whole podcasting thing works. So I have it set up, and when some more time comes available, we can work some more on the podcast, and I can become familiar with how to set up the software and upload and all that kind of stuff. Be good. All right, listen, time for you to go to work or go to sleep in Juneau. Time for me to go to work in London. So until the next issue of Solder Smoke, we'll say 7-3. KL7R in Juneau, M0HBR in London.
73 Bill, catch you next time. I'm really looking forward to getting this thing working. It had a really nice characteristic before. It was a DC receiver that was with no audio filtration, and so it had real wide audio. Really interested to see what it sounds like with the quadrature, the sine and cosine. And if it turns out good, if I can find a good signal, I'll put it up on an MP3 that you can hear it. MP3 Bill, have a good day at work. M3 HBR London, KL7R Juneau.